So I thought I'd show you this. It looks like a regular can of Barbasol.
Uh-huh.
But wait.
There's more.
When you give it a little twist.
Oh.
You can import embryos for dinosaurs.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Make your own dinosaur embryos.
Make your own dinosaur embryos. Yeah. I gotta find the embryos, though, because I just had... It shipped with the empty tubes.
Okay.
I thought it was going to come with actual dinosaur DNA, but...
Well, when you saw the price was $7.15, you should have known better.
I should have. But it is really cool. I like it a lot. I totally dig it.
Oh, we're looking at buttermilk. She's like... I can't even really hear you guys.
Yeah. Aren't y'all supposed to be doing a podcast? I think we are, right?
I think so. Yeah.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Out About Podcast. I am Patrick, and you all know my co-host, Chili.
Hey, hey.
And last but not least, we have our producer, Mr. Jerome Barrow.
Hello, everybody.
How are you fine gentlemen doing this afternoon?
Good.
Fabulous.
Fabulous?
Fabulous.
I think my cleaner uses that on the floor.
Yes,
she mops
does.
With it.
Yeah.
Fabuloso.
Fabuloso.
Yeah. It could be.
What scent does she use? What color? Probably easier to say.
Oh, it's the purple, right?
Yeah,
I think it's
the
purple.
Best.
The purple's the best. Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah. What do you use? Pine Sol?
I'm more of a bleach person.
Ew.
He'll
bleach.
Tell you. I start cleaning, and he's like, oh, God, the whole house just smells like bleach, and he hates it.
I can't do bleach. I understand it has purpose, but it reminds me, honestly, of like middle school and high school and elementary school, the boys' bathroom.
Yeah.
That's what they just cleaned with bleach. Just everything was bleach. And it would just, you'd walk in there after they got done cleaning it and your eyes would start to water because there was so much bleach in the air. Ever since then, I love
the smell of bleach.
What?
I love it.
What?
I get the eye burn. Yeah,
he gets the Scentsy, the Clorox, yeah. Clorox flavored Scentsies for his little Scentsy candle.
I was washing some towels from the yard one day, and they're white towels, they're filthy dirty, and I put bleach in the washing machine, and the washer and dryer are downstairs in the basement, and this was the same day we were interviewing a house sitter. So I'm downstairs in the basement washing towels, and I used way too much bleach. So I go upstairs to meet the potential house sitter, and Melissa's walking her by the basement door, and it reeked of bleach. I'm like, okay, she must think we're behind the body down here.
Don't worry about that. That was the last house
sitter.
Just
a little spill.
So
I don't know what it is. I mean, I don't like sit and inhale it or anything, but just...
He's got an open bottle of bleach next to his...
But I do love the smell of bleach. Like, I don't know, growing up, I just always associated bleach with clean. Like, you smell bleach, it's just clean. It's just...
I get that. I don't mind the smell of diesel at all. And I know there's some people either like it or they don't like it. I don't mind it at all. And so it's funny because we've gone on some of these like trips on a... Like, on a cruise ship, or on a cruise, you do these excursions. Sometimes you're on a boat. Like, you'll get off a cruise ship, they'll put you on a little boat, then you'll go somewhere. And so we've done quite a few of those. And sometimes those boats smell like diesel.
Yeah.
More often than not, they actually do. And so, you know, everybody's like, oh, I got to get upstairs. I can't handle all this or whatever. And I'm like, it's fine to me. I'll just take all the room and air conditioning for myself. but, yeah, I'm like that with diesel.
I'm like that with propane exhaust from forklifts.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's just something about it. I would do trade shows and forklifts running around left and right as you're setting up.
Yeah.
And the exhaust note, I just love it.
Huh. No, yeah. I never had that one. But again, you know, a lot of the...
I bet you between the three of us, we've probably got like 20 brain cells left. All of us smelling everything.
Wow.
Combined.
So
I remember in
high
school...
I've got one. Patrick's got five. So like it leaves you with, what, 14?
I don't even know if I got that many.
Not with bleach. I'm not. You ever looked at what bleach kills on the inside of the bottle? They're like, kills, pneumonia. It kills brain cells. It kills athlete's foot. It kills Barbasol spray. I mean, it kills everything. It's
everything.
Like 99.9. That point one, though, it's a tough point
that's
one.
That's
they're like
not
the boxing
die.
Gloves came off.
Yeah, it's
some serious point one. But I remember in high school, these dumb kids, they would take Sharpie.
Yeah.
And they would sniff the Sharpie And you would know because they'd have all the little black dots right under their nose on their skin. And it's like, you idiot, we can see that you were sniffing a Sharpie. Things people do to get high. Yes. Never heard the bleach one, though. So,
I don't do it to get high. I clean.
It's sure. Okay, Jerry. It's okay. The first step's admitting it.
So what do y'all have, like two sets of cleaning products? I'm sorry. No, actually, I guess it's one set of cleaning products and a bottle of bleach.
I'm the type of person, I have one of those big spray bottles, so I pour bleach in it, and then I put water, but I'm the type of person, I put like that much bleach, and then I fill it up with water.
So you're more of a half and half kind of person, or like a one-third to two-thirds.
Yeah, about that.
Well, you don't want to water the bleach down too much.
I mean, and it makes...
Because what would Clorox know when they put those instructions on the side of the bottle? They have no clue.
They have no idea.
In my eyes, it just makes cleaning so much easier. Like, I literally can go in my shower, I could spray the entire thing down, walk away, I could come back in 5 minutes.
You've got one layer of tile missing.
It's absolutely pristine. It's all the soap scum's gone. Like, it's wonderful. I just spray it down with water, right, and I walk away. Good.
Meanwhile... Don doesn't shower in there for two or three days until all the bleach is gone.
He has his own bathroom.
Okay.
He doesn't even
smells like lilacs in that one.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
That's hysterical.
I don't use cleaning products. I use buttermilk.
Oh.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yep.
I don't know what the cleaning people actually use. I think it is Fabuloso for the floors and such. But for like just regular disinfectants and all that, I have no idea what they use.
Lemon pledge.
I do like me some.
Doesn't disinfect, but it is nice.
Makes it look nice. Yeah.
A good friend of mine growing up, her mom taught her, and the first time I seen her wash dishes, I thought she was crazy. But she would always wash dishes and pour Lysol in the dishwater.
No.
So she used Dawn dish soap, and then they also used about that much Lysol that they poured in.
That's a marketing scheme. She fell for something. Wow. Oh, speaking of marketing... craziness, like your friend. I was just watching, so I had to go to Fort Wayne and pick up the Volvo, and so I spent the night in a hotel, and I was watching, what was that movie?
Roadhouse.
No. Close. Very similar. It was Jumanji, the new Jumanji.
Oh, Jumanji. Which one?
Like, the new one.
The newest.
With The Rock?
Well, there's been two of those, I think.
And Kevin Hart. Has there been two new ones?
I think there's
ones?
Been two of those.
Oh.
I could be wrong, but I know the one with The Rock and Kevin Hart.
Yeah, the one with The Rock and Kevin Hart and...
The other guy.
Yeah, the other guy and the girl.
Right, right.
Yes. Yeah. And they were in Jumanji. Yes. So I was watching that, and I don't have TV at the house, as you all know. I don't have cable or satellite or network TV here, so I don't watch commercials ever. I never see them. So they actually had commercials on, and holy cow, Cascade dishwasher detergent... Mm-hmm. Has gone, lost their mind.
Really?
They got a guy on TV telling people, I used to be the kind of person to load my dishwasher, and then, you know, when it was full at night, I'd run it and clean my dishes. But now, I'll do my dishwasher even if there's only three dishes in there. I don't care. I'll dish it all the time because, you know, it's still 80% less water usage than hand washing and all this stuff, and it's so much better for the economy and everything. And so he's like, next time you're thinking about running the dishwasher, just run it. And I'm like, boy, Cascade, could you be any more direct in use our product more?
All the time, please.
All the time.
Yeah.
You drank a cup of coffee, run that dishwasher.
Dishwasher, clean that cup.
It was an espresso glass.
Yeah.
2 ounces, run it.
Run it.
You had a shot of cough syrup, you run that dishwasher. Yeah.
I got to tell you, I've fallen for some of the Cascade marketing.
Really?
Yeah, you know they have the pods?
Yes.
And different pods have different colors?
Yes.
Some have two colors, some have five. I don't know what
five?
Colors.
Five? Never seen
know,
a five four. One. That's coming,
whatever
though. It's
it is.
Like razor blades.
I only want the one with multiple colors.
You got it.
I don't
it.
Want just the two.
Nope.
I want all the colors in my pods.
So I do, what is the company? I can't think of their name, but it's a blue disc with a red circle in the middle
finish.
Of it.
Okay, yeah.
Finish.
Yeah.
But I do the Finish Ultra.
Right.
So the blue square is actually like half white, half blue,
right.
And then it has
the
red.
Dot, yeah.
There's no difference at all, I'm convinced. It's just color.
It's color.
It's just a little, they add blue to one side, they add white to one side, they put it together, and they charge me $1.50 more.
They're prettier.
Per box. And I buy it.
I'm going to put my GoPro in the dishwasher and just see what happens, how the color fades away.
That would be funny, wouldn't it?
It would be hilarious.
Comes out squeaky clean.
Yep.
I tell you what,
Do you run the dishwasher the way it's supposed to be run?
Oh my goodness! Now we're gonna get lessons on dishwashers.
So I believe in running my dishwasher with a leash. So we're both running together. I understand some people don't. Some people prefer they run it a different way. But
I run mine on a treadmill.
How do you on a treadmill? Okay, yeah. I just think fresh air. You know, a dishwasher sometimes. Is when they're gonna run, they want fresh air.
Sometimes, but I can sit down and watch TV and I'm good.
I would love to know what is the proper way to run a dishwasher.
So I'm assuming.
Oh, you use water. Oh,
when
I
you when you load up your dishwasher.
Yes.
I'm assuming you load it up. You take one of your little pod things, you pop it in there, you shut it up, you close it, you put it on whatever cycle you want, and you're done.
Yes.
Sounds vaguely familiar.
That's incorrect.
But you, yes, producer, go ahead. Why is that incorrect?
Because we watched a complete 1 hour show one time.
Sponsored
on History Channel.
Cascade. Cascade or finish.
They actually talked about to get your dishes clean the way they're supposed to. Every dishwasher has a pre-wash compartment that you are supposed to use. They put it there for a reason. You're supposed to fill it up with liquid detergent.
Oh, yes, I do that.
Put your pot in there.
Okay.
Shut it. It runs the pre-wash and uses detergent and all that and breaks all the food up. And then your main washer and pellet or whatever you put in there then cleans everything after that.
Okay. So mine doesn't have that. I'm sorry. I don't have a pre-wash on mine. I've seen that on every other dishwasher I've ever owned. This is the first one I've ever had that doesn't have that at all. It just has one compartment for your little pod.
Right.
It does have the compartment for your finishing.
It doesn't have the little like the apartment, the main compartment, and then it has another one beside it. Or
it doesn't. It just has one. I'll show you when we're done. Okay. It only has one, but the it does have the little thing for like the. It's literally finish or jet dry or whatever.
Yes.
It's that little,
yes.
It's the whatever stuff. And this is one of those things where, you know, hashtag all marketing is lying to you. I thought for years owning dishwashers that, oh, that's a joke. You don't have to do that.
Right.
All my dishes always come out perfect, yada, yada, yada. Well, I lived in South Louisiana where we have like the best drinking water in America. We get it straight out of a sand aquifer. They just barely touch it with a little bit of fluoride and a hint of. Just the mere suggestion of chlorine, he wouldn't like it.
He wouldn't.
And
hey, I'm from Florida where everything has sulfur. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, this has nothing. It's beautiful. It's great water. Love the water down there. And so I always thought, what a joke. I moved here where we have hard water. And we have a water softener, and we add all the stuff to it to make the water right, but it screws your dishes up. And so I was so frustrated. I'm like, why do I have cloudy dishes? Right. Why do I have all this stuff? And the two things I've learned is, one, I've got to use that finish, that liquid. If I don't use it, my dishes come out nasty. If I use it, spotless every single time. Second thing is, up here, I have to clean my dish. So, like, in Louisiana, I put the little, you know, the dishwasher cleaning stuff in there to actually just run a cycle to clean your dishwasher. It's a degreaser and all that stuff. I would do that once a year, something like that. Even though they say you're supposed to do it every month or two, I do it once a year. Up here, for whatever reason, maybe it's my dishwasher, maybe it's my water.
Right.
I have to do it pretty much every couple months. Otherwise, it starts to make the dishes look a little oily. So it's kind of crazy. Like, I'm learning some of this stuff that I've always accepted as a scam is really not.
We found out about the pre-wash after I watched that show. And actually, we could take our dishes, rake the food off, no pre-rinsing, no pre-washing or anything. Just put them right into the dishwasher. Every dishwasher we've ever had after we watched that show. Use the pre-wash compartment like you're supposed to, fill it up and everything, put it on normal wash, and every time they come out spotless.
Huh.
And so we use the Kirkland brand dishwasher.
Right. Yeah, I don't think we have the pre-wash. We have the jet dry thing, I think. I've never used it. We just put the pot in, close it up, and send it through. Cleaning the dishwasher, never heard of that before.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
I mean, maybe Melissa has her.
Well, I think.
Just hasn't shared with me.
I think from what I've seen Melissa do, she does a better job of rinsing the plates and stuff off before she throws them in the dishwasher.
Generally, though, I'm the one throwing stuff in the dishwasher. And I used to. I mean, it was beat into my head when I was a kid, and it was my weekly.
You wash
dishes,
the dishes, wash then
the
you
dishes,
dish,
and then put them in the dishwasher.
Yeah.
And I'll get scrape off the food and stuff and throw it in there. And I'm like, hope this comes out right in the morning. And they come out great.
Yeah.
So, I mean, our dishwasher is noisy as all get out. It takes about an hour to do a wash, and it doesn't dry everything, but It's clean.
Well, that's one thing I've noticed about my dishwasher, too. What a weird conversation for a trucking show. Right? But I did
stop being a trucking show 15, 20 episodes ago.
I went and bought a, when I first moved in, I bought that fancy, expensive KitchenAid dishwasher or deluxe. It is so quiet. You've all not heard it. You've all not heard it.
We have.
Yeah. It's dead silent. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember the first time I put it on, I'm like, oh, crap, it wasn't installed right. Why is it not working? I open it up, and everything's full of water, and I'm like, there's no way it is that quiet. It is dead quiet.
It really is.
That being said, it is the worst dishwasher I've ever owned in my life. I guess with dead quiet comes they barely throw any water on,
right.
Because it is like, if you don't load it just so, you won't get your dishes clean, and it's so aggravating. My old dishwasher, well, so my house in Louisiana, I didn't have a dishwasher. The dishwasher was a bottle of Dawn and right. your two hands and a sponge. But before that, the house before that, the two houses before that, both had just regular cheapest
sure.
Sears, Kenmore, yeah. or GE Hotpoint dishwasher you could get. And, I mean, you could literally have dishes... plates sandwiched together with stuff between them,
right.
no space at all, and a pot on top,
yeah.
and somehow it, everything would come out squeaky
it
clean.
Yeah.
It this new dishwasher I've got, it's a piece of junk. I mean, it's just, and what are you gonna? It's nothing. It's dead quiet though. Like you, yeah, it's
you,
just
you don't hear it.
You don't hear it running, yeah. which is awesome. But I also feel like, you know, I never noticed that until I had a dead quiet one. So who cares? And it is a long wash. Mine is like like an hour, 2 hour wash, but it has that pro heat function. Now that's no joke. Those dishes come out dry.
Well, yeah, it takes an extra hour to dry them, though.
Yes, it does.
It's, you know, I guess you have give and take.
So what I typically do is it's the last thing I'll do before I go to bed. Which I know, like if my mom was listening, she'd freak out, and say that you can't do this. But I run my dishwasher. Like, it's the last thing I do before I go to bed is right. start it, go to bed, wake up in the morning, they're empty done. It out.
I try and get it started before we go to bed because it is loud.
Yeah.
It is loud, so. But it's rhythmic. You know, it's not a nice rhythmic kind of white noise.
It's just a pulse to keep you asleep.
Exactly.
Well, that's what I've always done anyway is start my washer. Usually I start the dishwasher at night. Look at him looking at me because he always, yes, Don mainly does the dishwasher. But I was always told start it at night when you go to bed because electricity is cheaper right. in the night hours.
Yeah. Oh, that makes sense, yeah.
Yeah.
I never thought about that.
That's what we would do.
So in Louisiana, we didn't have that fancy
electricity
monitoring.
Right.
So it was the same price.
All the time.
All the time. Although now they do have that, but we didn't have it back in the day. So they got that after I moved to Ohio.
Well,
so.
I'd like to pull you guys on something dishwasher related so we can stay on topic of trucking here. Silverware. Handle up or handle down?
It depends oh. on the dishwasher, and it depends on what it is. So my dishwasher has that lid over the silverware
right.
basket,
yeah.
and you can only put it handle down. Now, yeah. they do have some wider ones, so you can put knives straight down.
Sure.
Because I will put butter knives and steak knives in the dishwasher, but that's all I do. The
you
rest
put,
of my
you
knives...
You put your steak knives in the dishwasher.
Per the... book that came with it that said
know,
your dishwashers
are okay.
absolutely okay in the dishwasher, I do put my steak knives. And not only that, but I get compliments all the time about how tender the meat is at this house, and it's not tender meat. It's just an amazing
so nice.
Knife.
Those knives are
well,
amazing.
I could serve up leather shoes, and yeah. they would be like, ooh, this cut's so nice. Yeah.
We won't give them a plug because they don't sponsor us yet, but those knives are amazing.
They
you're,
are really,
you're
really good. By the way, their annual sale is happening right now, so if you want to get something, it's a ton of value.
I would like some steak knives, but I don't want serrated steak knives. I want smooth blade steak knives. Serrated ones tend to tear. Anyway, Jerry, what do you do? Handles up, handles down?
Every dishwasher we've ever had, it's been both because if they're all one way, they never come clean. So
yes.
we have to mix match.
Not only that, but you can't put spoons together in the same
yeah.
one.
Right,
that,
those, yeah. yeah. I'm having a problem with that right now because I was always taught handles up. Because
really?
When you reach into clean dishes, you're
with,
picking up with the handle.
With your clean hands.
I was always taught handles up.
Okay.
So, but I've learned that if you want your silverware clean, better off having them facing up with the handles down. So I'm I'm working on that. I'm working through that one.
Yeah.
Working through that one.
It's
and fun. My knives don't go on the dishwasher.
Well, you're a more...
Go ahead. Say it. Say it.
I can't think of the word. Otherwise, I would say it. You're more...
I'm more anal with my knives than most people?
No. That's not what I was going to say. You're more polished than I am. You're more refined. You're a little more uppity than I am.
I don't know that I was
raised in the streets.
Oh,
so,
you came from the streets, did you?
Yeah. When I grew up, we didn't have a dishwasher. We didn't get that till I was like in middle school. But it is funny, though. I remember as a kid, like, mom would do the dishes, or sometimes Melissa would load the dishwasher. And then she would, the next day or when it was done, mom would be like, all right, Patrick, go empty the dishwasher. Hated that job.
Yeah, horrible.
Oh, what a
worst
horrible
thing
job to have
worst
to empty
ever.
The dishwasher.
Yeah.
Now I do it, I'm like, it takes me literally 2.5 minutes,
it.
And it's so easy. Like,
and I hated it so what? Much. Why?
I don't understand it. It makes no sense at all.
None at all.
Like, you know, I get like, okay, cutting the grass. I didn't really like doing the cutting the grass. But, I mean, that took an hour, hour and a half in South Louisiana. It's brutal in the summertime. I still did it, and I still think if I had a kid and they were in South Louisiana, I'd probably have them cutting the grass, too. I think that's a good skill to
have.
That's
why you have kids. Get you ice cream and cut the grass.
That's right. And... Get you ice cream
and the TV remote.
And the TV remote, exactly.
As a much younger kid, I was. It was the volume controller because we had had the clicker on the remote, but you had to actually go up and touch the TV to.
I had to go up and grab the pliers and change the channel for my dad.
I did the same thing at my grandma's house.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Those pliers lived on the TV. If you needed a repair done, you didn't grab those pliers. You went to the garage.
Okay.
And got the pliers to do a repair. You didn't grab the pliers to stop the TV because if they went missing. Somebody was going to catch hell.
So you didn't have the big knob that it was
when the knob somehow came off and went away.
Oh,
that's right.
You had to use the pliers. The knob is gone. You're just using the pliers to grab the little.
Oh, I'd have been murdered.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, my grandma used to make me get up and change the channel, and then I'd have to stand there, and she'd be like, "Well, hold on, let me see what's going
on."
And you're just standing there waiting and waiting, and no, I don't want to watch this. And so then you have to keep going. Oh, and then back then we had UHF, so I was changing two knobs,
and then you had to adjust, fine tune the UHF.
Yes.
Yep. If we touch the UHF fine tune knob again, somebody catching hell.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just, but that's just the way it was back in the day when we had it. We had it rough, Patrick.
I forget how much older y'all are than I am. I did. I got my experience. I was right there at the cusp, right? So, like in the family room, we did have the color television,
right,
with mono sound.
Oh yeah,
one speaker, and it did have the UHF and VHF, but we never used it because we always had a cable box as a kid. But you did have to. So the cable box was cool. The remote you could make channel up or down.
Okay.
And power on off.
Right.
And the TV plugged into the back of the cable box. So when you turn the cable box on, it would turn the TV on.
Oh, yours was fancy.
And then when you turn the cable box off, it would turn the TV off. And then mom had an even, not a fancier, a more dumbed down version of this in her room where it had a remote, but it only had channel up or down. And so if you wanted to turn the cable box off, you had to press both of them at the same time, and it would turn them off. And if you just press like up or down, it would turn it back on.
Wow.
So, yeah, crazy stuff.
Wow.
I miss those days. But I really don't remember miss those. My grandparents, she had the console television. Remember the console? Uh-huh. Wood grain.
Yep.
Cost about $1,200 for a 25-inch color TV. She had stereo in her TV, and it was like, what?
Whoa.
Like two speakers, a left and a right? This is insanity.
I am very happy today to have one remote.
Yes.
I press the power button on my little Apple TV remote or on my iPad or my phone.
Yeah.
It turns the TV on, the Apple TV comes on, and my soundbar comes on. And it's easy, simple, no problem. We don't have cable or satellite, so it's just what we're streaming, Netflix, whatever. But it's just simple, one button and we're good, or one remote and we're good.
Yeah, I was always the audio nut and video nut and all that stuff. So back in Baton Rouge, I had a projector instead of a normal television. And so you had the projector, you had the receiver for the projector because projectors don't have all the tuners and stuff TVs have on them. Then you had the radio receiver for the music. And so I had surround sound, everything set up for that. So you had four different remotes because they had Apple TV as well.
Right.
So you had four different remotes, and I remember like when people would come stay at the house or whatever, they'd be like, okay, I got the TV on. How do I get sound? And it's like, what remote do you have? Do you have the silver one, the white one, the black one,
right,
or the other black one? And they're like, huh? Oh, and the DVD player, DVD remote, right, too, because back then we had Blu-ray disc and DVD. So it was, I always wanted one of those cool integrated Crestron units or something like that where everything was all one and you pressed a button and everything came on. And
right.
I just never could afford that stuff. Well, and
so I used to rock a Harmony remote.
A Harmony remote?
Harmony.
eHarmony?
I remember when that first came out.
Yeah.
Never even heard of it.
So they were bought up by Logitech. I don't think they exist any longer.
Okay.
But it was a web-based remote control. So you would go onto a website, and you would tell it what components you had and the model numbers, and you could set up programs for it. So if you pressed one button, it would turn on certain things. Press DVD, it would turn the DVD player on, turn the TV on, set it to the right channel or the right input, and it would do all that for you.
Really?
Right? So you would do all that, set it all up on your computer, plug it in, it would download stuff to the remote, and you start pushing buttons and testing things. It didn't work, you go back and you reset it. It was a great remote,
but it would
system.
Automatically change the channels too.
If you had the programming set up a certain way, it would change the channels. But again, you would have the one remote, right? I'm clearly grabbing my phone. You have
the
one remote.
I think we had something like that.
And you would use the remote like you would normally. All the programming though went through your computer.
So we didn't have anything that programmed through the computer, but I do remember we had a remote, universal remote. You could buy a high tech
Radio
electronic
Shack?
Store, Walmart.
Okay,
and I remember you would get the book out,
mm-hmm.
and there'd be 28,000 codes,
right.
And you would literally sit down and go like, all right, television,
right.
Zenith, there's 42 codes there to try. And you just start until you get one that works. And you get one that works kind of, like it'll turn the TV on and off.
Right.
It'll do the channel up or down, but it won't control the volume.
Mm-hmm.
So you're like, that's not the right one.
The right
you
one.
Try again. And then eventually you get the one that does everything, and that's it, and you save it. And then you go like, all right, RCA for the VCR.
Right.
And you get that one programmed in. All right, yeah. Cable boxes. Cable boxes were much easier. They only had like two or three codes. But I remember we'd have to replace that remote every couple of years. I remember we finally bought one that was so cool. We'd get back, and it was like, point the remote at your TV, and when it turns off, press save or something like that. And so what it did is it just went and cycled through all the
right.
It would just do the channel
right.
power, do the channel power, do the channel power, do the channel power. So eventually when it turned off, then you knew it had the right code and you just saved it. Oh, it made life so much easier.
Yeah.
Love that.
To bring this back to trucking, when we set up the new satellite dishes, so satellite boxes in the trucks,
yes,
you can program the DirecTV remote to your TV. And it does it through the DirecTV box. You tell it what brand TV you have and the model number, and it goes through and finds it and does it. It's like, okay, great. It doesn't do it for certain brands, and it tends to be one of the brands that we have a lot in the truck, so we don't do it anymore, but it can happen. It's pretty simple nowadays.
Very cool. I remember as a kid, you never, like, we always had the universal remote. We never touched the Zenith remote or
the TV remote just got put down after a while.
Yeah, put down.
you
it
had,
was a good remote.
You had to
we'll
keep
forever
it,
miss it.
You had to keep it in the junk drawer just in case.
You did because eventually the universal would die.
Right,
and a TV remote from that brand would never die. You could pick one up right now,
forever, and it would still work. Yeah.
I was just going to say, and those Harmony remotes were not cheap.
They were not cheap when they first came out.
I mean, they still go for upwards of $200-$300.
They were not cheap.
Well, I love my house now. I do the same thing. I haven't figured this out, and if you know, then let's talk after the show. But I use my iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
I pull up what do you want to control? Living room,
right?
And it'll turn my TV on. It turns my receiver on. My Apple TV opens up
right.
where I left off. I can change channels. I can change volume. I can change sources. Really impressed by what I can do with my phone.
Right.
That's nothing I did. It's no programming.
No.
Apple just made it happen.
You plug everything in and it works.
Yeah, Apple just did a firmware update and they're like, hey, guess what? You can now do this.
Right.
That's awesome. I discovered that by accident. I love it. Such an Apple fanboy after this. I still can't figure out how to turn the TV off. I still have to grab my Samsung white remote and turn my television off.
Yeah.
I can do everything else but turn the TV
off. So if you press and hold your power button, will it not turn your TV off?
I don't have a power button.
On the Apple TV remote, you do. On your phone, on the remote app on your phone, I believe it's in the top right corner.
It is.
There is a power button there.
Oh, there is.
So on the phone, I think you just tap it and it turns everything off. On the actual physical Apple TV remote, you press and hold the power button, and you have the older remote.
I do. I have the ancient one.
Those things are horrible.
Yes.
Yeah. Horrible.
Yeah, I'm not going to replace the remote. I'm just going to wait till that Apple TV dies and replace it.
I remember one time before I had an Apple TV myself, I asked you, I said, how do you deal with this touchpad thing? Because it just is ridiculous, yeah. And it's no longer there on the new remotes. And you were like, I don't use the remote. I just use my phone.
Yeah.
And, oh, okay. And when we moved, I was like, we're getting Apple TVs. And, this. And we did. And it works great.
Is it redundant? Yes. Pretty much everything I do on my Apple TV, I can do through my Samsung television.
Sure.
But it is so much easier with the Apple remote.
So much easier.
And it ties into all my other Apple stuff. Mm-hmm. So, again, if I'm watching YouTube on my cell phone and I walk into my living room, it'll say, would you like to watch this on the big TV? And I say yes, and boom, it's on the big TV. Yeah. Like, it's just the integration's amazing. I know a lot of you out here are Samsung phone people, and I'm a Samsung television person. There I think Samsung makes one of the
I
best
have a
TVs.
Samsung TV. Beautiful TV.
Yeah. I wouldn't be caught dead with an LG one, but I hear that's a joke, actually. That was a tease. But anyways, I do love Samsung, but when it comes to phones and the integration with the laptops and with the iPads and everything, nobody beats Apple.
When I get up early in the morning on a Saturday or Sunday and Melissa's still asleep, I can throw my AirPods in and the TV. Apple TV picks them up, and I'm listening to. And sometimes I got to pull one out and go, is this really coming through my AirPods? Because it sounds like the TV.
Yeah.
I got to pull one out and go, okay, yeah, I'm good.
Do you have the spatial thing on, too, which is a trip? You were watching TV, and the Apple AirPod Pros and the AirPod Maxes have it. I don't know if the regular AirPods
do.
It's a spatial thing. So if you turn your head left, the sound sounds like you have speakers in front of you. You physically have turned your head left.
Yeah.
And so your right ear gets softer and your left ear gets louder. It's the weirdest technology. I don't know how they're doing it.
They actually have a new updated version that's coming out this month.
Really?
I've been running the beta. It's pretty cool.
Nice.
Cool.
Nice.
Again, big Apple fanboy. But that's not what y'all came here to hear about.
Are you sure?
I don't know. Is it?
They don't tell us, so I'm not sure if they came here to hear about that or not.
Well, I thought today we would talk a little bit about trucking since that is the business we're in. That's why we started the podcast, and you sent me those ads and prepared for it. I figured, why not?
Yeah, let's talk about what we looked at.
We shouldn't be more than 2 or 3 more hours. And so there was an article published in CDL Life about a situation that happened with Werner, the trucking company Werner. They were sued. By the, Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, and they lost their case.
They did. They lost big time.
And it was an interesting, there's multiple levels about this that are interesting, and I'm not sure how I feel, and I feel like we're missing some information.
It does seem like it's lacking a little bit
in the
article.
It does, yes, yeah. Because the article's heavily on Werner's side, I feel. And it just misses a lot of information out of here. And if it's telling us all the information, then a major injustice, I think, was done. But if it's not, then there's got to be something more. But okay, so here's what happened. Chili?
Go ahead. I disagree with a statement you made, but I'll give that opinion once you tell us about the story, the rest of the story.
All right. So Victor Robinson is a driver who tried to go to drive for Werner in 2016. He started with their what is the training company they
Roadmaster.
Have? Roadmaster, which is a wholly owned Werner company. So they he went to go learn it at Roadmaster, got his CDL. And went on to try to get on with Werner, which is something they offer. It's a placement program that Werner offers. If you do the driving school through them, then you can get put in this placement thing. But there's one big caveat.
Right.
And what is that big caveat?
The gentleman is deaf. He is. He doesn't hear.
He cannot hear. Now, typically, that is something that will prevent you from getting your CDL.
Right.
However, he was able to go through and he obtained an exemption by the FMCSA.
Yes.
So, to me, that says he can communicate well enough that they are allowing him to continue driving, even though he's deaf. Now, I don't know if that means he's completely deaf or if he has what's the implant called?
Cochlear implant.
Cochlear implants, or if he can hear some, but he's very hard of hearing. I'm not sure to what degree, the article doesn't say. I feel like that is very helpful information, and it doesn't mention it.
Yeah, that's one of the frustrating things, is that it doesn't mention his level of hearing impairment.
Correct. Because things like deaf...
Or correction.
Things like deaf and blind or missing limbs, people tend to go like, well, if you're missing such and such, and you just don't have it or whatever. And right. It's like, that's not really the rules.
Right.
You can be legally blind and qualify for all the
sure.
perks and... not perks, but all the things that help with you... being legally blind, and still be able to see some.
Sure, yeah.
I've got a cousin who has a degenerative disease, and mm-hmm. his vision is slowly disappearing, but he can still see stuff out of his... it's either out of his peripheral, or he can't see peripheral. Anyways,
okay.
But he can still see stuff.
Both ways.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My grandfather, who passed away at 96 years old, he was legally blind for the last several years of his life, but when I walked into his house, unannounced...
Yeah.
He would still go like, not really be able to put it together necessarily who I was, but he
right.
could see that I was,
someone
was there.
Was there. Yeah.
And as soon as he would get an indication that it was me,
yeah.
everything would click.
Sure.
And he could make out, just based on his memory and everything.
Right.
But still could walk outside, knew where the sidewalk, could see the sidewalk, may not be the clearest picture, but
right.
he still
but he
was able
still
to get around.
Idea.
Couldn't
yeah.
drive, obviously. But
so there's levels of
there's
impairment.
Levels.
Yeah.
We've got... a person who is actually going to be applying fairly soon to come drive with us, and she is deaf. She's driven for FedEx before. She's
okay.
going to come back to FedEx again and drive. And but again, there's levels.
There's
she's
levels.
Not completely
sure.
deaf. You can still communicate
well,
with her.
I think
so,
I'm a good example of that with vision. Without my glasses, I can't function. The other day... Melissa was here, and I was meeting you guys here to do something, and so I was at home getting showered after work, and I dropped my glasses on the floor. I literally got on my hands and knees to feel for my glasses because I couldn't see them. It took me 5 minutes before I figured out where they bounced
oh,
to.
Wow! Wow!
So when I was doing my DOT last week, she asked me, you know, can you read this without your glasses? Like, nope. What's the highest letter you can read there? And I go, L. Only because I saw it before and I know what it is.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I can't, right? So I need my glasses in order to function. So without them, I carry a spare just in case. But so there's levels of impairment.
Correct.
That's
yeah.
my point.
Absolutely. And so we don't know what that degree
right.
or that level is.
Right.
There's a few things in here. So one, they did get the exemption. Mr. Robinson did get the exemption. So Werner, even though he went through their school.
Right.
And he... applied for their placement, they declined it and said that they would not be able to, Werner would not be able to
employ him
because they didn't have a way to teach him. So Werner has two classifications of drivers. They actually have more beyond this, but two main ones we're talking about right now. We're talking about a generic truck driver. That is, I've got at least 6 months of driving a truck experience. I go to Werner, they put me in a truck,
right.
and I go rolling.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is a placement driver. This is a brand new driver. They don't have the full 6 months experience. They may have no experience, come out of one of their roadmaster schools, and they're placed with a driver, and the driver teaches them how to run the road, right? Because
right.
Not so much with straight trucks, but with 18-wheelers, there is a considerable learning
oh,
curve
sure.
you have
there
to
really
learn.
There really is, yeah. You get your CDL, you learn how to drive a truck, but you don't know how to operate the truck yet.
Correct. Exactly. Real-world situations, all that stuff still
right.
have to be played into. How to work hours of service, how to work on recaps. Recaps are like when you... we don't do this a lot in expediting, just nature of our business and the fact that we run teams. But in commercial, in solo driving tractors, a lot of people will... where you get ready to run a load, but you're at the end of your week and you're running out of hours, you actually can look at how many hours you get the next day and how many hours you get the next day
right.
and kind of plan your load out so you can capitalize on those hours
sure.
if you need to and be able to determine if you can take a load or not. So there are some skills that go along with that. It's rare in our sector of the business, but it does
it
happen,
happens.
But it's
yeah,
it's
it
just
happens.
It's rare. So they put you with a trainer, you learn all that kind of stuff, and... at the end of the day, Werner said, after they looked into it, they could not give him, they could not safely give him the consideration he needs with a sermon. That's funny. With a trainer that they would feel comfortable operating a vehicle going down the road. So Warner, I like the comment here. Warner said that their decision was based on the inability to identify an accommodation that would enable Mr. Robertson to safely engage in two-way communication with his trainer while engaged in over-the-road training. Warner had a legitimate safety concern about the potential catastrophic results of distracted driving by new and inexperienced commercial driver. So my understanding with this is basically they're saying any form of communication that they've looked into that would allow him and his trainer to communicate would constitute some form of distracted driving.
Right.
And that was their determination. They said, if we can't safely do this, we're not going to do it. And that's where they pump the brakes. So that's where all the issue is. Now, it also states that where the EEOC is claiming that they wouldn't hire him because he's deaf, and they're being prejudiced or whatever, discriminatory towards people that are the hearing impaired. Yes, yeah. They actually do go in and talk about how Warner has actually hired individuals who are deaf. They have hired individuals with disability. They do have a very large group of people who are in some way disabled, and they do accommodate them. It's just the fact that they can't safely
communicate
with
him as a trainee because he's brand new.
Yeah. Exactly.
How could they safely communicate with the other people but not him?
They didn't have to. That person was the people they have brought on that are deaf already had their 6 months, so they don't have to teach them. They already know how to do it. And going into a generic truck driver, then they already meet the criteria. This problem is, how do we safely teach this person how to do this? Does that make sense?
It makes sense. However, if they've hired people that had 6 months experience that had hearing impairments, how are those people trained?
I don't think Warner cares, and it's not their concern because
I get
it's not on their safety record. It's not on their insurance if that person, you know, causes an accident or has...
I get that, but there has to... I understand it's not Warner's concern.
Yes.
Right? There was a way somehow, some way, and it could be that whatever way method was used by a previous carrier, Warner still felt wasn't safe. So you get the benefit of the doubt there. But I guess it's now more of a curiosity for me of how did they do it.
Well, I think the part where I say the article is definitely swayed towards Warner is it does talk about how they've looked into it, they tried to figure out a way to make this work, and they couldn't. And since they couldn't make it work, that's when they decided not to hire that employee. Or that driver, but we don't really know what did they do.
We don't. You're right.
Did they literally go like, "Oh, you're a deaf person; it's not going to work." Bye. Or did they actually go out and say, "How can we pull this off? How have we done it before in the past? How is this a thing that's doable?" And go from there. And at the end of the day, the court system did not agree. And they said they sided with the plaintiff, and they gave him $75,000 in compensatory damages, which is probably not enough to make the news.
No,
it's the fact that they awarded $36 million in punitive damages.
Yeah.
Now this is crazy to me.
That $75,000 is definitely not enough to make the news because further on in the article it talks about other actions against other companies that they reported on just last week as well.
So here's
that were nowhere near.
And here's what's nuts to me. Between Wednesday and Friday alone, the EEOC announced five separate settlements between $32,000 and $182,000 against various companies. So we're talking $36 million versus $182,000.
Right.
$182,000 was against a food company who was engaged in sexual harassment against his female employee's will.
Right.
Like, so we're saying declining to hire you is a way more serious offense than this.
I think
than a sexual harassment towards a woman.
I'm not here to say that it is a more serious offense. We have different juries, different. It may not. These other ones may not have even gone to jury trials.
That's true.
The judge that did it.
Yes.
A jury, awarded $36 million. Now, Werner's going to fight that and get it reduced by quite a bit, I'm sure, if not completely gone. But, again, not saying that the disability EEOC claim on this disability was worse than the others, but I think we have to look at the fact that a jury made this decision, and we've seen juries in other cases, various cases, and you know, different than this completely, that have ruled large awards against trucking companies as well.
Even in the state where it was done, Werner pointed out that there's a cap on punitive and compensatory. That's a rough word to say. Limit of $300,000. So by their law, it's $300,000, and the jury decided to break that law and go beyond it. So they have grounds there to argue it. They did actually win a case earlier this year about this, for almost the exact same reason. Another driver that couldn't hear or was deaf, and they had the same situation, same concerns, and the federal court said at that time that we side with you. So now you've got some precedent and you've got a judgment that's beyond the scope of the law. So I do think they're definitely going to fight it. I mean, they said we're going to evaluate our options of appealing, but I think that just means we're going to figure out in which way is the best way to appeal. I don't think it's meant to be we're going to decide if we're going to appeal or not.
What's our best approach on this?
Absolutely.
This is what they're doing now.
Yeah. And there's like, I do understand discriminatory hiring practices, discriminatory things of that nature, where there are predators out there and you have to watch for that.
Sure.
I also know companies, a lot of them, like in this example with Werner, I don't think they're engaging that. And if they find out someone is engaging in that, they let that person go.
Certainly.
So I don't know. I have a hard time with, especially the size of the judgment. I know it's the $36 million isn't for the person who was not brought on. It was to make a point that make sure
that's
Werner
exactly
doesn't ever
it
do it again.
Sure.
Right. Like that's the whole point is you got to make sure you did something bad and we're going to slap your wrist hard enough that it hurts. But, I don't know. When you look at precedent and everything else, I just don't.
It just doesn't fit.
It just doesn't fit.
That size award just doesn't fit.
And what I don't know is, are we looking at a situation where we don't have all the facts? That's how I kind of started talking about this. Is there more behind the scenes we don't see? Are there emails? Are there text messages? Are there other things going on that is out there that we didn't, we're just not. Yeah.
Is there other damning evidence against Werner that we're not privy to?
Correct. Yeah,
that's certainly a possibility.
So it's kind of a wild thing to see. These judgments that are happening lately are just wild.
They're called nuclear judgments for a reason. They're insane.
Yeah.
They're completely and totally insane. And again, various different types of cases, whether it's accidents or whatever, they're just completely and totally out there. They're extreme.
And there's a lot of states that are, and even the federal government are stepping in trying to say, hey, you can't do some of these things.
Yeah.
But the flip side of that is there's a lot of companies that are raising insurance requirements, and even the federal government's looking at re-raising insurance requirements to help protect from all that stuff. So,
And trucking is not the only industry you see these things in. You see it all across the board, medical malpractice, all kinds of stuff where you see these just insane judgments.
I agree.
And it's a little bit out of hand, I think.
I do too. So I don't know if you agree or disagree with this sentence. If you do believe this is a just and fair assessment, if you think that Werner's going to fight it and they're going to win or lose or maybe come to, at this point, you don't really come to an agreement with the person that's accused you, right?
It's certainly a possibility. If they appeal it, they file an appeal, they certainly can come to a settlement with the person.
Okay.
You know, let's settle for $75,000 and however much money goes to funding equipment of some sort to help in this or goes to, you know, a hearing disabled charity of some sort to help again. So they certainly can, once they file the appeal, settle this at a later date for a lesser amount. It's not out of the question. I'm not an attorney, but I do know one. So that gives you my expertise on the law.
Well, I think that's sound expertise. I mean, I don't see any way that could possibly be incorrect.
I don't either.
But speaking,
I thought I was wrong one time, but I wasn't. I was not wrong.
Well, you just a lot of times I find that I'm not wrong. I find that people misunderstand me.
Agreed.
I misunderstood.
Agreed. Yeah.
Jerry's wrong, but
I'm never wrong. Never.
Really?
There was that one time.
Yeah.
We won't talk about it.
The pre-wash, remember?
Yeah, exactly.
What were you pre-wash?
Yeah. Silverware up or down. I mean, we're still debating that one.
Well, not really. Speaking of the law, though, by the letter of the law, and I do mean contracts, we are obligated, required, mandated to discuss a model airplane every week. We call the airplane of the week.
Yes, we do.
So
well, you do.
Today, the airplane I want to do... We can't. We've already done it. But we're going to talk about it anyways.
Okay, great.
A Delta Airlines A350 bound for
Spain.
Spain.
Yeah.
Barcelona. Turned back after 2 hours to fly back to Atlanta International Hartsfield-Jackson Airport.
Why they turned back, Patrick?
Well, it's the funniest thing. Apparently, one of the passengers had diarrhea all over himself.
Diarrhea?
2 hours in.
Huh.
Yes.
Interesting.
I know.
But why would they turn the plane back? Because he had diarrhea all over himself.
Apparently, it was a biohazard situation.
Hmm.
So they turned the plane back around, evacuated the airplane, and I'm assuming they got some Clorox bleach.
They probably did.
and cleaned it down real nice.
Yeah.
This is just, I just don't, what do you do with this?
I don't know what you do with it.
I mean.
You get the Clorox out and wipe it up. I mean, that's all you can do with
listen,
it.
Listen, like, okay, if they would have said, plane's taken off and the person diarrheaed all over themselves, I'm like, all right, so you're getting ready to take off. You maybe have a stomach bug.
Right.
You can't get up. Yeah. You're just screwed. And then, okay, yeah. 2 hours in. They've already served dinner.
Yeah.
Because on those long-haul flights, you're getting dinner.
Yep.
They've already served dinner. Everybody's kind of lounged. They've already picked up all the plates. You're talking to your neighbor about how good the ice cream was or wasn't. You're mid-movie. You can't, when you feel grrr, are you not like, oh, time to go.
Yeah, time to get up. Yep.
You think about an airplane. It's a big airplane, but the biggest airplane is still pretty small.
Yeah.
You know, it couldn't have been more than 20 feet to the nearest bathroom.
The story that I saw said that it was down the aisle.
Oh, mercy.
In his seat. So
he started his seat.
And he leaked all the way. Yeah. Yeah. That apparently was the big issue, that it was over the airplane.
I did not know that it was all over the airplane. Yeah. I knew it was all over the seat. And I thought, well, maybe it's just a smell issue, but. I'd have been pissed. I'd have been like, look, this is disgusting. Can we not get some club soda and a squeegee
exactly,
and still make it to Barcelona?
Right. We're only 6 hours out.
And then at that point, you're only 4 hours out.
It's true.
I mean, at that point, it's like, listen, I got to turn around. It's 2 hours back anyways. So
it's true.
Why not go
ahead and knock it out. Just suck it up and knock it out. You know, it's a humorous story, making fun of light of the story, but I've just been reminded that, you know, people have issues, they have disabilities, medical conditions, and can't necessarily control it. So we've made a lot of fun of it, but, you know, if you have an issue like this, I'm sorry that you do.
So.
And it is a serious condition, potentially, and we're just having fun with it.
So speaking as someone who's had food poisoning on a plane before. Had it from the night before.
Yeah.
Got to the airport, got through security. Wasn't feeling good. So I grabbed what everybody would do. I grabbed a red Gatorade.
Yep.
Out of the convenience store. It only cost $14. Sure. And went and sat down and drank my red Gatorade. And I was like, nope, that's not good. So I ran to the restroom. Now, that was in the airport. That was a hall. Easily 1,000 feet. And get to the restroom. It was not good, but I'm like, all right, I guess I'm through this, and let me go. Oh, this happened while they were boarding the airplane.
Oh, perfect.
So I was
timing.
Like, all right, let me. I think I feel good. Let me just run. I got on the airplane, made it just in time, was like the last person on the plane. Found my seat, getting ready to take off, taxiing the runway, and I'm like, oh no, I don't feel good. And so I literally, like, taking off, just sitting there waiting to hit 10,000 feet so that I could run to the restroom.
Ding!
I was gone. I was like, got to the restroom, got in there, did my business, and got out of the restroom, and there was a line, 7 people deep, down, waiting to get in there. And I'm like, I am so sorry.
Yeah. You might want to hold off for a few minutes.
Yeah, or a while. Get back to my seat, lean against the window, and just a miserable. We flew all the way to San Diego. And that's a long flight from Louisiana.
Yes.
And so I was like, oh, boy. So I did that back and forth multiple times throughout the flight. But you know what I didn't do? I didn't diarrhea myself. I didn't drag it down the aisle with me. I mean, it was tough. There were parts I didn't know if I'd do it. But I did it. And so, yes, maybe there's something more serious going on. So I'll give benefit of the doubt.
Sure.
But... oof. But, you know, I feel bad, too. Imagine the embarrassment.
Horribly embarrassing. Everyone on the plane is upset with you now because you made the plane turn around.
Yes.
Horribly embarrassing.
Yeah.
It's.
I have a question.
Sure.
When something like that happens,
uh-huh.
Is this person charged anything? Because you are disrupting, I mean, the cost.
Service, yeah.
Well, the cost of going back and then having to turn around and rebook people on flights to get them where they were supposed to go and...
yeah, so I know, like, with medical emergencies, typically they don't, which is why a lot of times with the medical emergencies, they don't land the plane. They do try to stabilize the person and get to a better place before they land it.
Sure.
It could be for things, I mean, like, it's crazy because you think about, like, well, if you're having a medical emergency, get the plane on the ground as soon as possible. But they do actually look at, like, what airport can handle a plane this big.
Right.
Or literally sometimes of even, like, well, we're flying over this place where we could land because there's not medical access near there, or could be as simple as the fuel's expensive there and we're gonna have to buy more fuel. We're not gonna buy it there. Obviously, depending on the level of the emergency, right, that's gonna determine that. Obviously, in a case like this, they were like, we're gonna go all the way back to Hartsfield Jackson.
Right.
We're not gonna land in DC or somewhere that'd be closer. But I don't know in this particular situation what they'll say. Is it a medical emergency or not? Kind of is, but is it? You know?
And, you know, I would imagine if it was someone just acting
foolish,
thank you.
You're welcome.
Then I could certainly see and get behind charging that person for whatever. They're not going to get much money out of them, probably. But in this situation where medical emergency, not their fault.
Yeah.
You know, again, who knows how they felt when they got on the plane. But I would hope that they weren't charged for anything additional, honestly. Yeah.
And it sucks, too, because, I mean, you look at it like an airline like Delta. I mean, every time those medical emergencies happen, I mean, that's can be on a big flight like that, that's hundreds of thousands of dollars
sure.
in jet fuel they've lost. And yep. It's because you burn the majority of your fuel on those long-haul trips in the first hour or two because the plane is extremely heavy. As you fly, you're burning jet fuel, so the plane's actually getting lighter,
right.
So you're burning less fuel. So the last, you know, half of your trip, you maybe use a quarter of the fuel the first half year did, or trip did. So the most expensive part of the trip is where the emergency happened, unfortunately. So they're going to have to go send the airplane right back. Again, they got to clean it. They're going to have to take care of all those passengers.
Right.
They're going to have to get another airplane out of storage. It's an A350. They don't have a lot of those. And then they're going to have to fly them all back, put people in hotels. I mean... It's a lot. Again, if it's a true medical emergency, I don't think they're going to charge them back for it. I don't think it's going to be anything. But if it's not, I think they would. Yeah, it was a crappy situation, but they worked through it. I am curious how long it took all those people to get back to Barcelona after that point happened.
I saw an article that said that they were delayed 8 hours. They actually arrived in Barcelona 8 hours after the original flight was scheduled.
Okay.
So
that's about right. I mean, you figure it's a 4 hour, 2 hours back.
Right.
So it's 2-4. You're on the ground for a couple hours, then
yeah, scrub
take
it up,
off.
Scrub
that's,
it up, dub.
Yeah. I wonder if they clean the plane or if they actually...
the article I saw said they cleaned the plane and put it back on it and sent them on their way.
All right. Did that passenger get back on it?
I don't know.
I would love to know that.
I don't know. I think I'd be too embarrassed.
I'd go to the hospital. I'd be like,
I would too.
I'd be like, yeah. Bring me to the hospital. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's going on.
Right.
Get to the hospital and be like, I'm so sorry. I'll see y'all later.
Thanks for the ride. Bye. Need an Uber. Yeah.
Oh, what a disaster. Well, that brings us to the airplane of the day. Also a Delta. This is a Delta 757-300. Now, not to be confused, we have had the Delta 757-200 before.
Oh, yeah.
This is just a longer of those airplanes.
Right.
757, it's one of my favorite planes. We've talked about it before. They're extremely versatile. They're extremely durable. They're just really great airplanes. It's about the size of a 737, or the smaller one is. They just put massive engines on it.
Okay.
And it's able to carry a lot more fuel. It's a lot more versatile of an airplane. It can fly a lot further than a 737. It's a little more comfortable of an airplane. The cool thing about them is the engines are so overbuilt and so oversized for that size airplane. As you're taking off, you know, when you take off and you come off the ground, you're at a pretty steep angle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you go that way for a couple thousand feet or 30, 45 seconds.
Right.
And then you hear the plane's engines kind of pull back.
Right.
And then you level off a little bit. And then you still climb, but not nearly as
but
steep.
But you don't feel it so much, yeah.
Yes. So this they do that because the engines are not rated to run that powerfully for very long.
Okay.
So it's very safe to run them that hard for 30, 45 seconds.
Right.
Or even a minute, but not more than that. So they actually have like max setting, and then they have takeoff setting, which is even more than max. So they'll do takeoff, and they'll pull it back to max and climb out, and then they'll lower it even more. This airplane is so strong of an engine, they can run it at takeoff all the way up to your 35,000
wow.
feet cruising altitude. They don't throttle back. They just climb up.
They just get there.
They just get there. They're like a little rocket ship. So they're very, very cool in that aspect. They're extremely durable, like I said. The ones Delta has are over 28 years old, I think, is their average age, 28, 29 years old. So they're old airplanes. They still run great. They still have great safety ratings. I really like them. They're fun. They're cool, old, antique airplanes that are just badass. This one is the stretched version. So this is actually, like I said, 737. So this is a 3-3 with one aisle down the middle.
737 or 757?
This is 757-300, okay. But it's like a 737.
Gotcha.
It's 3-3.
Right.
Or in the very front, it's 2-2 for first class. And this plane got the name the Flying Pencil because for it being a twin aisle airplane, it is so long. If you look at it from the side, it looks like a pencil. It's a trip too. Like I've sat in the front of these and then turned back around and look, and you can't see the back of the airplane because
wow.
it's so long and there's so many people. It's a pretty remarkable piece of equipment. Delta and United, I think, still fly these. American retired them, but it's actually a plane that was a little too good, too amazing for its time, and they didn't see a real need for them, so they quit making them 10, 15 years ago.
Okay.
And even then, they were only making them as cargo planes. You got to go back even another 10 years when they were making them as passenger airplanes.
Wow.
And now, everybody's begging Boeing to make an airplane like this. because now, you know, the whole hub and spoke, like leave here, fly to Atlanta or fly to Memphis or whatever, all these companies are starting to say like, let's not do that. Let's do these direct routes. Let's
right.
do the Allegiant or Southwest or Frontier and Spirit and all those guys. They're all JetBlue's doing all this. Forget hubs. Let's just fly people where they want to go. And to do that, you got to have small airplanes that are agile. And so this is now back in favor. It's just funny that it's back in favor 30 years after
right.
they came out with it, 15 years after they quit making it. So hopefully they'll be making something soon about this. The 737-10 that is not out yet is supposed to be the replacement for this, but who knows if that'll actually happen. They can't get the FAA to approve it yet. But the reason I picked this airplane out is because you and I were just on one.
We were.
We flew from Atlanta to Orlando, and they use a 757 on that route pretty much exclusively. The really cool thing about these airplanes is, as you have noticed, you actually made a mistake because of it.
I did.
You walk in
uh-huh.
halfway down the fuselage.
Yeah.
So when you walk on the airplane and you go right, it's all economy. And when you go left, it's comfort plus and then first class. So Eric and I got on and we're sitting up in the front, and then I'm watching for Vince to come on or whatever, and I see him come on, and he goes immediately right,
turn right,
just like you do on every other airplane. Yep. And he's like, literally confused, like, what's happening? Right. This is not making sense.
How do the numbers start so high?
Doesn't compute. Yeah. row 20. What happened to the first half of the plane?
I immediately pooped my pants.
So the kind lady there was able to turn him around.
Yes.
And he got to the right section or whatever. But it was quite funny. It does make for boarding a lot faster because you're not waiting for everybody in one right. line. You're actually half the people are going one way, half the people going the other way. So it boards a little bit faster. But it's just a really cool airplane. I know Delta and United both would love for Boeing to make more of them. They're begging for it. If you ever see anybody on the news talking about a Boeing NMN next model or 7X7,
okay,
they're talking about this plane. They want the next version of this. So not the most fuel efficient, but still a very cool airplane.
Yeah.
Iceland Air runs a bunch of them as well. So if you ever fly out of Iceland on Iceland Air, you're probably going to end up on one of those.
I'm doing that next week.
Are you?
No.
Oh, I was going to say, I'm not. Is it the right time? It might be the right time of year to go.
Summertime? Northern Hemisphere?
I would think probably. So. Not winter.
Not winter, no.
I would not want to go in winter. Hemisphere, no.
They think it'd be the right time. Yeah.
You get there, you're like, I thought it was supposed to be green. Getting Iceland green and Greenland's ice. And
something like that. I think that's
why
how
is
it
everything
works.
Got snow?
Yeah.
A lot of geothermal pools, I hear. Lots of them. That is the airplane of the week. But you know where else we're going? We were talking about going to Orlando. We will be going to Orlando December, 29th, 30th, 28th,
something like that.
14th, something.
Yeah. What are we doing in Orlando?
We are going sailing.
Sailing.
It takes you away.
It does take me away.
We are going. Yeah, that's right. We're going to do Highfield at Sea. We're going to be going on Royal Caribbean's Wonder of the Sea. It's the world's largest cruise ship.
It is.
December 30th through January 7th. And out of Port Canaveral. To go to Port Canaveral, it's about an hour outside of Orlando. Right. So everybody flies on Orlando International. It's going to be a great trip. I look forward to seeing a bunch of y'all there. We've got almost all of our staff are going. Yeah. We've got tons of teams that have already signed up and are going. We're out of our block of rooms already, but there's still more rooms on the ship. You just have to book them directly through RoyalCaribbean.com or with your travel agent that you use. It's going to be a wonderful time. Again, the world's largest cruise ship. It is massive. Eric and I were on that boat or on that ship for for New Year's last year.
Yeah.
It was a great ship. It's a lot of fun. They have everything. Name something.
Barbershop.
They have. Yes, they do have
they
it.
They do have it.
They have it in the spot. Jerry?
Roller skating.
Ice skating. Close enough.
Oh, my goodness.
Bowling.
They don't have bowling.
Bocce ball?
They have ski ball.
There you go.
Ski ball. That's practically bowling.
Practically.
Something else.
A roller coaster.
They do not have a roller coaster, but they have a zip line.
Oh, okay.
Because, you know, like your ship needs a zip line.
Of course it does. Yeah.
Why not?
Why not?
It's big enough.
Why not?
It also has putt-putt. Do they say putt-putt anymore? Or is it mini golf?
I think it depends on where you're from.
Okay. Yeah. So mini golf. They have a surfing, body surfing,
that's right.
Surfing,
yeah.
Free
wave thing
that makes a.
It's got a name.
Surf freestyle. Freestyle. I don't know. Anyways, it's got that. So you can get your surfing on or your kneeboard on or
right.
however you do it.
Yeah.
And then they've got
Central Park.
Got so much stuff. They've got a Central Park. Yeah. If you're like, I am so tired of all the beach and the pools
right.
and people having fun, I just want to go have a nice glass of wine,
right.
perhaps a gin and tonic.
Yep.
I don't know why, but perhaps.
Tea and crumpets.
Aperol spritz.
There you go.
And just walk through a park when you have like maybe some birds around.
Right.
I want to see some pretty flowers, yeah. sit on a bench, listen to a violin quartet. They got it. It's crazy. They have all this stuff at Central Park. It's insane. It's beautiful. Look it up. Wonder of the Seas. Or don't look it up and be surprised. Either one's good. They have a British pub. They have a sports bar. They mm-hmm. have a hot dog stand. Yes, they do.
They had a hamburger stand.
They had a hamburger stand on
Johnny Rockets.
On Johnny Rockets. That's right. Yes, they do. They have Johnny Rockets. Yeah. They've got Which it's like $5. You'd have to pay for Johnny Rockets,
right,
whereas
nice
the other ones are free. They've got a really cool deli in Central Park. So if you're like, I want to go to Central Park, but I don't want to spend $35 at this restaurant,
right,
go to the cafe. Everything in there's free. Yeah. It's wonderful. Get your coffees or your mimosa or whatever. Get out of the drinks package for that. But it's a really great ship. It's so massive. You really don't feel the sea move, which is nice. I know a lot of people have motion sickness, and that's an issue with them. This is one of those boats that's so big. It's minimal. I'm not going to say it doesn't exist.
Sure.
But it's minimal.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I really am.
You want to be crazy? You want a bar that's in an elevator that starts on the first floor and goes up to the fifth floor and deposits you in the middle of the park?
A bar on an elevator.
Uh-huh.
That sounds interesting.
It is. They have it.
Wow.
They have it.
What about a bar where robots make my cocktail?
They have it.
You're pulling my leg.
I'm not pulling your leg. I'm pushing your leg. No.
I'm looking forward to seeing that. I actually saw it.
They're thinking like, these are drunks. All they do is talk about drinks.
On the video that we prepared as a teaser, I saw that bar. That intrigues me.
Yeah, it's a cool experience. They also have the pizza place. Oh, man, it's such good. I love...
Where the robots make your pizza?
No. Because
they do that at Costco.
No, the robots don't make your pizza. but the pizza is really good on the Royal Ships. They've got the... comedy club.
Okay.
They've got the karaoke bar. If you want to get your karaoke on, they got a piano bar. They got a sing-along section. They got a, if you like trivia, they do trivia all day long. If you like playing bingo, they got the bingo cards where you win actual money.
Wow.
If you like gambling, they have Casino Royale, just like James Bond, Casino Royale. And it is something.
Can I get a Vesper?
No.
Oh.
One thing. You like big Broadway, huge productions? They got a massive, like 2,000-3,000 person theater. And their stuff is really great. Again, the ice skating rink, you want laser tag?
Yeah.
They got it.
Wow. Wow.
You want it?
I'm excited.
I mean, you could also do the normal cruise ship thing and go to the buffet and go to the pool.
Go out by the pool.
Yeah, if you want to. I mean, hot tub. I don't know.
Shuffleboard.
Yeah. I don't know if they have shuffleboard.
Shuffleboard's gone off of ships now.
It really has. Yeah.
Unless you're on like a...
Holland America.
Yeah, exactly. Or celebrity, the older crowd.
The older ones, maybe. Yeah. Not the newer ones.
I know the Mardi Gras carnival.
Had
shuffleboard.
It did?
The original.
I did? The carnival Mardi Gras.
Carnival Mardi Gras.
Well, the Mardi Gras didn't, and I thought it was funny that they replaced them with cornhole.
No. Let's correct that. It was beanbag toss.
It was beanbag toss. Yeah. I thought that was strange, too. Well.
We all know what is cornhole. What are we trying to hide here?
All right. All right, Southern Florida. but I'm looking forward to it. Hey, and if you are going... Or if you're planning on going, we have these shirts being made. I don't know how to do this, Jerry. I don't know if you can see it. They say Highfield at Sea 2023. They got a picture of a ship, the Wonder of the Seas, with some birds going around them. And then on the back, we've got the hashtag Highfield Family. Mel is making these. You can reach out to her through Facebook, or you can call your mentor and they can put you in touch with them, or you can call Kelly or Melissa or Delina or Kayla or Jerry or whoever. You can go onto highfield.com, chat with someone and say, hey, I want one of those t-shirts.
Yeah.
And they will put you in touch with her. And the deadline is coming up very soon. I forgot. It's only a couple weeks out that she has to have all the shirts ordered. So the deadline is coming up soon. So if you do want a shirt, you're going to go on the cruise, reach out to her. If you don't want a shirt but you want to go on the cruise, RoyalCaribbean.com and or your travel agent. It's going to be a lot of fun. I look forward to it. We're going to be able to hang out, sit there, truly be Highfield family together with each other. If again, if you're like, oh, I want to do that, but I kind of want to run, it is the slowest, deadest time of the year.
Yeah, it really is.
I would love for trucks to run. I mean, like, that'd be great, but they're not going to. Even if you stay at home, they're not going to run. So it's a great time for us to go out and really be able to celebrate each other's company and fellowship together. I encourage you to come on out, see it. If you can't because of family or what have you, we totally understand that as well. We'll miss you. We'll see you next year when we do it again. So this year, Royal Caribbean's One of the Seas. Come out and join us. It'd be a lot of fun. Things are getting back into full swing again. Fall's coming up. We're looking at dates for some live shows. Haven't pinned it down quite yet, but we are still working on that. And freight's busier again. Yeah. Everything's back up and running. So everybody stay safe out there. Make good decisions. Thank you for joining us. Jerry, what are we forgetting?
If you are interested in doing what we do or learning more about the expediting lifestyle, check us out at www.highfieldtrucking.com. You can chat with any of our representatives over there Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can also give us a call at 1-833-HIGHFIELD. That's 833-493-4353. You can option one for recruiting, by the way. You can also check us out on your favorite podcast streaming app. We are available on all of those. Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, all the social media outlets. We are out there. Also, don't forget to hit all the buttons in front of you. Subscribe, like, thumbs up, thumbs down if you want. Doesn't matter. Hit something. And if you have any comments, suggestions, or anything about the show that you heard tonight, you can send us over an email at theouterbeltpodcast@gmail.com.
Or leave a comment on this video and we'll read it.
Yeah. Or, yeah.
Carrier pigeon works too.
Carrier pigeon does work as well. Message in a bottle.
We'll get it. But we won't get it on the seas.
We'll get it when we land at, back in Cape Canaveral or Port Canaveral.
That's hysterical.
As Buttermilk would say, don't leave money on the table.
And keep those wheels a-turning.
We appreciate y'all.
Good night.